hey, what's going on? Happy Monday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from Sunday afternoon. The Reds going for a series sweep against the LA Angels, but it did not get off to a good start. Frankie Montas had to leave the game in the first inning. After just recording two outs, Montas took a 101-mile-per-hour comebacker off his right arm or elbow. The good news was there was no fracture from the x-ray later on, and he officially just has a right forearm bruise. But the Reds' bullpen was forced to cover 8 1/3 innings, and boy, did they ever deliver. Brent Suter threw 3 1/3 scoreless innings to kind of stabilize the game. Emilio Pagan then threw 2 scoreless innings, and then Fernando Cruz, Lucas Sims, and Alexis Diaz each threw a scoreless innings for a 9-inning shutout with 7 different pitchers. The Reds' bullpen for the entire series against the Angels did not allow a single run over 15 innings pitched. Unfortunately, though, the Reds' offense was being no-hit by the young Angels flamethrower Jose Soriano and his 95-mile-per-hour splitter going into the 6th inning. Ellie De La Cruz finally got the Reds' first hit with one out in the 6th. Spencer Steer had a tough, hard-hit lineout, but then the Reds caught a break when Nick Martini reached on an error by Angels second baseman Luis Rendifo. And then Christian Encarnacion Strand, next man at the plate, made the Angels play. He smoked an 0-2 knuckle curveball that was way down in the zone. He hit it 107 miles per hour off the left field wall. 2 runs scored, and then the second run was scored on a really smart slide by Nick Martini beating the tag. The next batter, Jamer Candelario, smoked a triple, also hit 107 right off the glove of Mike Trout, and that made it 3-0 Reds, and that would end up being your final score. Reds sweep the Angels and improve to 12-9 on the season. The Reds are off to their best start through the first 21 games of the season since 2013, which they also started 12-9. Right after the game, Jamer Candelario talking about his big day.
All right, Jamer, your RBI triple capped off a 3-run 6-inning. What were you looking for in that at-bat from Jose Soriano?
He was throwing good pitches, you know. He pitches move a lot, so for me, I was just thinking to the middle and being able to, you know, put the barrel on the ball in that situation.
In the top half of the 6th, you made a nice pick over at third base to initiate a double play. How much pride do you take in your defensive efforts over at third?
Every single day, I want to get better, you know. I want to be able to help my team win many, many ways. That's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm keep working hard so I could do it every single day.
Your starting pitcher, Frankie Montas, exits the game in the first year bullpen. What an effort by them, holding the Angels scoreless. What does that say about your pitching staff here?
Man, we got warriors here, you know. We got guys in the bullpen that they are ready to throw some zero for us. They set the tone. They put us in a great position to win the ball game. We make some runs there, and we got the W.
Offensively, 17 runs scored in this series. How would you describe the way this offense is playing right now?
Yeah, the guys doing really well. They're working really hard for this, and hopefully we can stay like this the whole season and contribute with the team. You know, we want to be able to score some runs, do whatever it takes to produce, and help the team win. That's all about.
And here was one of, if not the biggest hero on Sunday, Brent Suter.
Thoughts on entering the game a little bit earlier than maybe you had originally?
Yeah, I didn't quite get my activation stuff done in the bullpen today, but, you know, that's part of my job. It's part of what I feel I can bring to the team. So not the first time I've come in the first inning. Probably won't be the last, but it's just one of those things. You know, obviously your heart's with Frankie. You know, taking one right off his favorite arm there, which is a bummer. But it's like you gotta step up. You got to try to keep that run there or keep the score where it is and just go as long as you can. And, you know, I got some breaks today, but the defense played great behind me. I was able to make some pitches when I had to and come away. And, you know, we're joking in there. All the bullpen needs is a couple outs and we can get this thing done.
Seems like you're very pitch efficient, only throwing like 51 pitches. Yeah, that's just the key when you know you're in a long relief situation, is to get it in. And that's what you do generally anyway, but even more so now.
Yeah, I was a little inefficient early. It took me a little bit more pitches the first couple ups than I would have liked. But the last two, I felt like I got my efficiency back and was able to kind of tip the scales back in my way. And I was good for another. I felt good. And I felt better that last inning than I did all day pretty much. So that was a good sign. But, yeah, just trying to get as many outs as quickly as you can there. Obviously try to keep the score where it is your job there. So was able to do that. And, the guys behind me, Emilio, Lucas, Cruz, and Diaz all pitched really well too. So that was really cool.
Do you feel like you can pitch again tomorrow?
TBD on that. I'm going to go Mark Bro a lot tonight and then try to be ready. But, we're going to need some guys to step up, you know, in situations where they might not have otherwise pitched, like recovery-wise, because, we obviously got only just two outs from Frankie today before he went down. So, yeah, we're going to need to step up as a bullpen this week, but it was a good start to it today for sure.
What did you say about the bullpen and the additions they've made? Nick yesterday, you today, Pagan today. I mean,
yeah,
guys, it seems like these signings are really paying off.
I sure hope so, yeah. Still a lot of season left, but definitely it's good to make, good impressions in the first month as, in the new team for us free agents. And, hopefully we're doing that and just contributing to wins. We want to just catalyze what we've already got going here with the Reds, special clubhouse in there, special group of guys, and just wanting to, add our whatever we can do to help. And we were able to do that last couple of days. So, really proud of the guys and great hitting, too. I forgot to mention the time of hitting there. That guy was dealing over there. Soriano was nasty. So to be able to get some runs off him and kind of keep the temperature of the game in our favor was really good.
And here was Frankie Montas after the game.
Frankie, how's your arm feeling?
That's a little sore right now. Yeah, a little sore. I had a big ball right here, but it's all good.
Are you concerned you might have to miss some time, or you think you can get pretty in time?
I don't think probably gonna miss my next one just because I have to wait for the swelling to go down. And right now, like, I can make a face, but it's a little hard to, like, move and stuff. It's just a little tender right now.
Frankie, what can you say about the way the bullpen stepped in and stepped up for you?
I mean, seriously, from Suter to Diaz, like, I'm just glad, they went out there and picked me up, it's always tough on the bullpen when you start to go down, especially in the first inning, so those dudes right there, they're fighters, they're grinders, and I don't know how many times I have telling them, thank you for picking me up, for me, that's huge, whenever you can count on your bullpen, I mean, not just as a player, but I think Dib is probably happy as well, too. You can count on your bullpen to kind of throw multiple innings, and trying to cover for the starter. So that was really huge for them.
And lastly, here's Reds manager David Bell.
David, how impressed were you with the bullpen, the way they came in, really stepped up in the absence of Frankie?
That's exactly what they did. Just it was a day of just stepping up and helping each other out. And the bullpen is just, in a lot of ways, leads the way in that regard for us. I mean, as soon as that happened to Frankie, it was just like, what can we do to get this done? And saw it as a challenge, and we'll absolutely do anything to help our team win. So it was just a great win, starting with Brent Suter, but so many guys, Pagan going two innings, and just amazing job by the bullpen offensively to get a few runs off their pitcher today. That says a lot. That guy had great stuff, and to be able to get three runs right there gave us the cushion we needed, and the bullpen did the rest.
Jamer had a really nice day coming back off some time off.
He did, yeah. I mean, we just got to keep playing. You got to keep going, keep working at it, and he's been doing it for a long time, and thankfully, we all have a lot of confidence in Jamer, and he has the confidence in himself, so just continue to get at bats, and we got a long, long way to go, and you just keep playing, keep swinging it.
Well, our deep drive of the game was Jamer Candelario's RBI triple with an exit velocity of 106.8, hit 391 feet, and our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales, visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central from Sunday. The Brewers, they blanked the Cardinals 2-0. The Brewers swept the Cardinals and outscored them 16-6. Cardinals fans apparently booed the team off the field at the end of the game as they wasted a 12-strikeout performance from Sonny Gray. The Marlins beat the Cubs 6-3. Cubs, they had to settle for a series split in the four-game series against the Marlins. And the Pirates lost 6-1 to the Red Sox. The Pittsburgh Pirates, after starting the year 9-2, they are 2-9 since. So your NL Central standings on Monday morning: Brewers leading the way at 14-6, Cubs 13-9, Reds 12-9, Pirates 11-11, and the Cardinals are 9-13. All right, well, that's all for my rough voice. I'm trying to battle through it today. I'll drink lots of water on Monday and hopefully be back and better than ever on Monday night on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube and in your podcast feed on Tuesday morning. But here's myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube from Sunday night.
All right, all right, all right, everybody. It is a winning edition, a Sunday night winning edition, a sweep. Nick, hopefully you had a nice, lovely Sunday. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. First time testing out the voice today. I've really just laid off it all day, so I don't know. Maybe it'll get rolling as we go along. Love the hat, though. Love the hat.
Yeah. No, the hair's been pretty ragged all day, so I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna run upstairs, snag a hat. Shout out to the Tortugas. Hopefully they find a way to win some baseball games, and we all were happy about it. Do know though. Shout out, no free ads, but shout out to Alfredo Aduno.
Tortugas are the only Reds minor league affiliate above 500, so you like the winners.
There you go. I am a front runner, as they say. That's why I root for the Cincinnati Reds. All right, folks. 3-0. I just wanted to get that clear. 3-0. We put up a goose egg. Yeah, where do we start? I think we'll start there. We'll start with the best start since 2013. I mean, listen, we've sat here, we looked at the schedule. I don't think anybody that's doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that maybe the beginning of the year for the Cincinnati Reds was probably a little more lucrative than what we're about to head into right now. Having said that, no guarantees. This team's consistently what felt like started off on a bad foot and had to try to dig themselves out of a hole the last few years. David Bell even, he made a point to say it just last year that, hey, we've really worked on some things. We talked about doing some things differently to try to get off to a better start. That obviously didn't fix the issue from last year, although I would argue that the problem last year was probably more or less not the logistics of what you decided to do around spring training, but more so who you actually have on the baseball field. And, you know, they did get off to a decent start. And I think more than anything, Nick, the biggest thing for this team is to try to figure out find a way to continue to win games that you could argue they weren't supposed to win. Like today. I know that you're going to be like, oh, it's just the Angels. They're not supposed to win this game today. This is the grittiest win that they've had in quite some time. I know we can use hyperbole on this show a lot, and you can kind of try to make something, you know, what's the phrase? You can make a mountain out of a molehill. That's what we try to do from time to time on this show to keep it entertaining. But I genuinely mean that. Today was a very gritty win, and they weren't supposed to win this game. You got your starter going out in the first inning. The bullpen, we'll get to them in just a second, but I don't know what else there's to say about it. I mean, and Suter, I don't even know if he couldn't have possibly been any better. I know you could say he could have thrown the ball a little bit. Like, legitimately, if you'd have said, hey, what does Brent Suter need to do to be almost perfect in your eyes? He's damn near done that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's I think we talked right before the season. I think we were kind of breaking down the schedule, and I think we said 12-9 would be a great record to shoot for, and that's exactly where we're at. So it's nice that they're 12-9, and it doesn't really feel like they've played great baseball overall. There's been some great moments. There's been some great wins. I think today is a great win when you overcome your starting pitcher, getting you two outs. That's a great win. I don't care if you're playing the Chicago White Sox. That's a great win. So the nice thing is they've played well. They're off to a good start. They haven't dug themselves a hole. And I think there's still
a lot of room to grow. Now, you're not going to get the same performances out of Spencer Steer and Ellie De La Cruz all year. You're not going to get the same performances out of some of these bullpen arms. You're not going to get eight and a third shutout innings from your bullpen very often. But there's a lot of guys that haven't performed up to where we expect yet, and we expect them to grow a little bit as well. So just nice to see the Reds, you know. It feels almost trivial sometimes doing these shows every day when you sweep the Mariners and then you turn around and sweep the Angels, because trying to like judge a team on a day-to-day basis in a 162-game season is honestly kind of silly at times, because there's so many ups and downs, ebbs and flows to a season, and this week is just the absolute perfect example of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt when you're in the weeds like we are, and a lot of people, I mean, hell, more than half the people in this chat are in the weeds with us. It's hard to see through them at times, right? It's like you're in the middle of the forest. It's kind of hard to see exactly, you know, what the overall 30,000 feet view above of what you're looking at actually is. And I don't know what to make of this team quite yet, honestly. And I said before the series, I am concerned about how good they actually are. And I still have that semi-fear, if you want to call it that. The only thing is that I do think this team has some scrappy players. And the good news is I do think that their pitching as a whole will keep them in most games. And then it's just a matter of whether or not they can find some production out of guys that have quite frankly not been there yet. And you'd like to think that they will. And that's basically Jamer Candelario and CES. And Will Benson's obviously, he's fallen off a little bit. I'm not worrying about Will. I'm sure that some may start to. I'm sure that there's many worrying about India. He's not going to do that yet. I think I put out a post today, Nick. It's like, I'm not so worried about the numbers of Jamer as much as I am of like how the way he looks. We've seen this before, right? We thought CES was going to break out. We thought CES was going to break out because he was just looking more and more comfortable. And he kind of had a little bit of a breakout of his shell. You've been mentioning all season long, Tyler Stevenson's, you know, he's doing the part. It's just not shown up for him yet. And then certainly Tyler Stevenson breaks through. Hopefully today was a sign, at least in the right direction, that maybe Jamer is going to start to kind of get his feet underneath him and have some better at-bats. We'll find out.
Yeah. We kind of jumped around. You want to jump in a little bit more into the Reds bullpen? I just Brent Suter, just the fact that he can come out and give you three and a third is just, it's incredible. He talked a little bit in the post game. It was interesting. He said just flat honest said, yeah, I wasn't really ready in the first inning. I don't typically prepare to come in the first inning. And he said it took him a little bit to kind of get his feet under him. But then once he did, he was able just to pump in strikes and able to get the Reds through the fourth inning. And then Emilio Pagan, he's been a guy that's kind of been up and down, but two shutout innings, just gave up one hit, didn't walk anyone. Really great job for him. Kind of, I think, went under the radar a little bit today. And then Cruz, Sims, and Diaz. I mean, all three of those guys have had some moments where they've struggled, but I'm trying to think back. I didn't dig in too deep into this, but I see the Reds have only blown three leads all year. I don't know how many of those were in the first or second inning, but it feels like almost every time when they've had a lead, they've pitched very well and they've been able to hold on to those leads. And for a team that like the Reds, where I do think the margin for error is thin, it's going to be important that they are able to convert those type of opportunities more often than not.
Today, I was even thinking to myself, you know, what I would call average or maybe even below average, and certainly bad baseball teams today find a way to lose a game when they scrap their way, they claw their way, they finally got the big hit, right? They get a 2-run lead, they extend it to 3 runs, and I was just thinking, man, you know, there are teams out there, and certainly the Reds of yesteryear would have without question given up like 2 or 3 runs and it had been tied, and the next thing they lose a game in the 11th inning and you're just like, oh, that was all for nothing, really? Like, it was for all intents and purposes, like I said, a just incredibly gritty win, and it starts with the bullpen. And I, you know, the bullpen is such a fickle thing, right? We just talked about how it's hard to judge a team day by day. I don't know what to make of this bullpen quite yet. You know, I do know that there's a lot of guys in there that I actually feel good about. Right, like when you see a guy come out of the bullpen, I don't know if we want to go through every single name, but I'd say if Martinez comes through the door, I feel really good about it. If Pagan comes through the door, I feel pretty damn good about it. If Suter comes through the door, I feel good about it. And I have to feel somewhat good about Sims and Diaz just based off of the history that they've had with the Reds and what their stuff can be. And you could make the case that Fernando Cruz is the best one out of all of them. That's a pretty good sizable amount of guys that you feel good about coming out of the pen. I can tell you this, and listen, I told you this yesterday, I think we went off the show. It's like, you look at this division and the Brewers, they keep figuring out ways to win baseball games every single day. I don't know if they're ever going to lose again. So shout out to Milwaukee for having the world's worst roster, but the world's best team. But I was more specifically talking about the Cubs. The Cubs are really good, man. I think the Cubs are pretty damn good. The problem is that, you know, you turn the bullpen door open. And honestly, if you're a Cubs fan, I don't really know if you feel all that great more times than not. That's not how this Reds team is. And I'm thankful for it. And hopefully they can kind of, bridge the gap until we get some of these reinforcements, which we seem to say every single year. And I don't mean to keep belaboring that point. Someone's going to make fun of me, or I'm going to get a hateful DM about, oh, here we go again. You guys saying that there's going to be reinforcements coming, but what am I supposed to say when you know, arguably TJ Friedl, a bona fide leadoff man, is going to come back at some point. And I'm not counting on McClain, but certainly Marte could help. But yeah, so hopefully they can figure it out until I said 50 days. What's your hope they can survive in advance for?
I don't know the exact days, but I know they've got a pretty brutal schedule almost through the whole month of May. I believe it might be through the whole month of May. Someone ran through all the teams that they play, and there's not a break for quite a while. So I think the Reds are 8-1 right now against teams below 500, 4-8 against teams above 500, something like that. So, I mean, they're going to have to play a little bit better. But last year, the Reds played pretty good against the teams that were above 500. So, yeah, I mean, this is the type of the point of the season now where 500 baseball is good baseball. And that's not for the Reds. I don't even think you're necessarily giving the Reds like a handicap on that. I think most teams across baseball, unless you're the Dodgers or Braves, you go through the kind of stretch the Reds are playing and you try to play 500 baseball. You try to survive. And that's kind of where the Reds are at right now. But the Reds bullpen overall, 14th in Major League Baseball in ERA. They went a whole series without allowing an earned run. So that's probably a little bit inflated in the Reds' favor right now. But at the same time, like Lucas Sims has the worst ERA at 7.71, and most of that was from two outings back-to-back where he struggled. So I think overall, I mean, this is a very solid bullpen. I don't want to anoint them as great yet, but I think they've got an opportunity to be maybe at least a top 10 at the end of the year.
No, I mean, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that the Reds have bullpen that you can count on more times than not. And I'm not trying to knock on some wood here. I'm not trying to jinx this, but last year felt like a fluke, right? You fast forward into this year, we're getting really close to starting to feel like this is who they are. We got some good arms in there. Now, having said that, if the wheels fall off, don't come calling to me. CES and Jameer, we've talked about them in length more times than not. But more times we've talked about him, it's been really on the negative side, or the hope side of wishing that they would get off to a better start or start playing a little bit better. I think I seen someone post about this today. Was today the first day? And obviously we don't know off the top of our head, but today might have felt like the first day that CES and Jameer got back to back hits.
That's a good point. I don't remember it. That's for sure.
I mean, they both had their moments a little bit, right? I'm not starting to suggest they've been over, but both of them going at the same time, that would be new. I take that. So I don't know. What do you make of these guys? They obviously believe in CES. They've given him like more benefit of the doubt. They continue to showcase that they believe in him, putting him out there. And let's face it, like, I'm not saying that you only play guys because you paid them a bunch of money and blah, blah, blah. But Jameer right now is kind of like the five-star quarterback in college. He's going to have to absolutely be horrendous for a considerable amount of time before he ever gets himself in a spot where he doesn't play, especially with the health situation the Reds find themselves in. So it kind of is what it is. They're just going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to play better because they're going to be playing.
Yeah, I mean, I have faith in CES. I think CES is number one, a guy that it's going to take him a little bit of time to get going, just the nature of the player that he is. And CES has hit the ball pretty hard at for the most part this year. Jamer Candelaria, there wasn't a whole lot of those hard hit balls, the XWOBA that I know a lot of people love to make fun of. It wasn't good for Jamer Candelaria. But look at the last four games he's put together. Now, there was a five-day illness in between. Right. But the 14th, he went 2-for-5 against the White Sox. The next day, I hit a home run against the Mariners. Then he had to take a five-day absence. But yesterday, he walked twice on Saturday against the Angels. And then today, he had two hits, including one that was smoked 107 off the bat. So that's four pretty good games in a row for Jamer Candelario. Let's hope that turns into a little bit of a streak. But yeah, I mean, just those 4 days, his batting average went from 160 to 206. So that's quite a leap over a 4-day stretch.
Yeah. The good news about batting average, if you're struggling really bad, is that, you know, if you're hitting in the hundreds, it's pretty quick. It's pretty easy to get that average come up pretty quickly, especially if you don't have 100 at bats yet.
As long as it's not Eugenio Suarez into like August in 2021, yeah, then you need a long stretch to get that bad boy back.
Well, then you just give up. I think at that point, yeah, you just give up and you're like, all right, we're not going to worry about the batting average anymore. Let's just focus on the rest of the year.
Something's tweaked. I think I need to take the rest of the year off.
Yeah. Speaking of something being tweaked here, we'll jump to the second half of the graphics here. But one thing I was going to mention that I don't think we have on here, and I wanted to make sure we didn't have it on here before I mentioned it, was maybe, like, I know India being sick might sound like an oxymoronic thing for me to say that might help him kind of get jump-started again. But I do believe that any time that you kind of, like, get a little bit of time off, extended periods of time off, it helps you. It helps you have perspective, and it also helps you kind of just reset the mind. And you can kind of spiral out of control if you're in the lineup every single day and you're struggling. And, you know, we'll see when India comes back if that helps him. But I'm looking forward to that, and I'm hopeful that will help him. Speaking of help, if you need ticket help, right? If you're looking to go to a game, any kind of game, baseball game, I don't know, maybe you're trying to go to a concert. I heard Taylor Swift put out a new album. Haven't heard it. Probably don't plan on listening to it. No disrespect to Taylor, by the way. No disrespect to Taylor. I'll get your review of it. I've heard that it's average at best right now. That's what I've heard around the streets. You know, maybe you want to go to that. I don't know what you want to do, but if you do try to get any type of ticket, you can go to the Game Time app, download it, use the code CINCY, CINCY. You get $20 off your first purchase. And yeah, you know why? Also say this, they have lightning deals on there, Nick. I used one the other day. And essentially the way that it goes is you get on the app. You can see that it's got like a lightning label on it. You click on it, and you got 20 minutes to decide if you want that ticket, and they give it to you usually like 20, 30, sometimes 50% off. It's a good app. You should check it out. Download the Game Time app. Use code CINCY. Right before we jump into this Ellie De La Cruz, I'm going to do some super chats. You look like a Taylor guy. I mean, based off what I said, I know your wife's Taylor Swift fan, or Swifty is what they go by. I don't hate Taylor, by the way. I think she's great. But I have heard this album is average. Do you agree with that or no?
Unfortunately, I haven't listened to it all the way through. I only got about five songs in. I do a podcast every day, so that kind of takes up a little bit of my time. Yeah. I will say, though, from just my initial reaction, I'm much more of the upbeat, fun Taylor Swift kind of guy than the emo Taylor Swift. And it felt a little bit more emo, which I know a lot of people love.
Right.
I'm more of the, you know, I want some boppers.
She's out to get some people, right? She's mad.
Which is wild because she looks so happy everywhere else right now. And
yeah.
I don't understand that, but you know what? Hey, I'm sure there's a reason for it.
Fair enough. All right, let's do our daily dose of Ellie. It's kind of like Tylenol for some people. Is that right? No, aspirin. Aspirin, right? Am I being stupid here? What is it? Aspirin, right? Isn't there some people that take aspirin every day? I'm pretty sure. Anyways,
yeah, I think
you get the
aspirin
point.
Aspirin a day keeps the doctor away. Isn't that a saying?
I thought it was Apple, but who cares? Let's just make up whatever we want to tonight. All right. Daily dose of Ellie. Listen, Ellie, what is there to say? The guy gets on base. He's been continuing to get on base. And when he gets on base, he creates a little bit of havoc. And I was thinking, why can't I think of the kid's name that threw the ball today? Sanchez? What was his name?
Soriano, right?
Soriano, thank you. Sorry. He was nasty. Like, I was like starting to get frustrated they couldn't put together good at bats against him, and then I just kept watching him pitch, and I was just thinking, like, maybe he's just like really good. Like, this guy's just throwing darts, got some snap, knuckle curveball. I'm like, yeah. But then Ellie gets on base, and I'm like, maybe Ellie can just steal second, third, and then maybe he'll find a way to get on. Well, he'll get home on a ground ball. That's the power of Ellie De La Cruz. I know you have something nice to say about him. What is it?
No, it's just nice to see him, you know, breaking up the no-hitter. When I saw that first swing and miss on strike three from Will Benson that was like almost hit the plate, that's when I was a little concerned, because you don't see Will after the first 2 weeks of 2023, Will Benson swinging at those kind of pitches. So, yeah, he was absolutely nasty today. But, I mean, look, Ellie De La Cruz, I mean, just look at these numbers. 306 average, 412 on base percentage, 639 slugging. I mean, it's just incredible what he's doing now 21 games into the season. And he didn't even start off all that well. He struggled the first, what, six games? I know it felt like more because of the reaction to it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised Ellie's playing well. I'm surprised that he's had this long of consistency. It feels like day after day after day. That's the thing that I'm really most excited about right now, is that he's getting on base multiple times every single day. It's not like he's getting on base three or four times, then he's having an 0-for-4 with three strikeouts. That then, you know, it's been just consistency. And man, he's been just remarkable late. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz keeps us up. He might be your starting shortstop in the NL All-Star game.
That he might. And I was going to add one more thing to this really quickly here before we move forward, is this. I was just thinking to myself, of course, if you're going to gamble, always gamble responsibly. I mean that wholeheartedly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus in Ohio. And the one thing I was going to say was, would you put, and I'm going to put this in the chat poll question, would you put a 1 month mortgage payment, so whatever that is, that could be different for different people, a 1 month mortgage payment on Ellie being an MVP at least one time, just one time in his entire career? So you get the whole, you don't have to make the payment until his career is completely over, he retires. Would you be willing to say at the end of that you'd have to either pay a mortgage payment or you get a mortgage payment back, even odds? Would you do that? Yes or no? Just ask the poll question. What would you do, Nick?
Probably no, but I don't think there's a player in baseball that I would do that for. I'd have to do a little more math at this, but just winning an MVP is so subjective, because look at Joey Votto. He only won one MVP in his entire career. And to be quite honest, the 1 year that he won, he was probably less deserving than the year he finished second. Like 2010,
yeah,
he was great. He was great.
Who stole that from him?
Stan. Yeah. The reason Votto won in 2010 was because the Reds made the playoffs, and for some reason, people would use playoffs as a level of being MVP or not. But there was actually a couple guys that probably were at least right there with him. Now, 2017, I think he was much better than Stanton, but Stanton hit 59 home runs and he just got the MVP. So that's why I wouldn't. But it's not more about just how difficult it is to win an MVP. You also got the whole, you know, injury thing that could happen. So I would personally say no, but I don't think there's a player that I would say yes for.
That's fair. That I mean, well, I know that for a fact. If you're not going to say yes to Ellie, then you're not going to say yes to almost anybody. That's for sure. I was just wondering if that's fair. I feel like, I guess my point was in saying that was, I feel like that's a relatively fair odds balance right now. Maybe I'm overhyping it, but I would think right now, if you went to a bookmaker and you said, give me the odds on Ellie winning just one MVP in his entire career, I think they would probably give you close to even odds. Maybe I'm crazy for saying that, but the guy does so much. He does so much stuff on the baseball field extremely well that you couldn't convince me that there isn't just 1 year in his hopefully long career to where he doesn't just do something unbelievable and he is going to win the MVP just based off the fact that it just doesn't make sense that one guy could possibly have this much power, get on base this many times, steal this many bases, and be maybe this many. "Quote unquote outs above average in the field," because I do think if you're going to look at the saber metrics for Ellie, he's always going to shine just based off the fact that his athleticism is so much better than everyone else's. It just allows him to be a better, be a better or more impactful player when you're calculating kind of those range metrics that they do. So we shall find out. We'll see what the chat says towards the end of the show. But I thought it was a fun little question. Frankie Montas, not so fun. You know, I will be completely honest. I did not. I turned the game on like whatever it was, an out or two outs into the game. I seen Suter throwing immediately. I started rewinding literally as fast as I could to get to the situation. I can't tell you how happy I was when I seen he got hit by a comebacker. Because if you put yourself in my shoes to try to give this like an actual silver lining here, you already know. Like if I tell you, you put yourself in my shoes, all of you, you put yourself in my shoes, immediately what comes to mind is the dude throws a pitch, grabs his shoulder, and literally basically like just hobbles off the field, and you're like, this can't be real. But thankfully it wasn't that. He gets hit by a comebacker, and the Reds do what they always do, which I'm not mad about. They overly, you know, they make sure 100% everything's okay. They take him out of the game. I think he's going to be okay, Nick. I think he's going to be okay. I know that the x-rays came back negative, but your overall thoughts on just Montas in general?
He was in pretty crazy pain, so I don't think he even could have stayed in. I mean, if he would have maybe had 20 minutes, maybe he could have. I'm just guessing here. But I think Annie Sabo gave a report like he was like yelled out a really loud scream when he walked into the clubhouse. So I think it wasn't really the Reds being precautious. I don't think there was any way he could do it. But yeah, I mean, overall seems good. I thought for a second there, I was like, well, Nick Martinez's time in the bullpen was short lived. He's going to be right back in the rotation. And I guess Connor Spires is going to be up to replace him as the long man. But I mean, it seems like he's probably okay. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I guess the Reds are probably going to wait a couple days and just see, you know, because he's obviously going to have a pretty big bruise tomorrow, and you're going to see how that looks in a couple days.
I'm not overly concerned about it. I know you're saying you thought if it was game seven of the World Series, I would have, I hope one day I get to find that out maybe, but if it was game seven of the World Series, I don't know. We'll see what they would have done theoretically if they didn't have anybody else to go to. Having said that, clearly you have to take him out. And then I say that knowing that tomorrow I could wake up and there could be a picture on X.com that shows a basically the size of a grapefruit on his elbow. And I was out here suggesting that he might have been able to continue to pitch.
I feel like the odds are very high that there's going to be a picture surface of him. That just feels like the most baseball thing, right?
Yeah, it didn't hit him in the elbow though, right? I was like concerned that it would hit him like perfectly in the elbow with the bone. Maybe it did. I don't know.
I thought it was right above.
I don't know. A couple quick things. Let's do some Reds MILB, and I have some questions about Reds MILB when you're done with it. That we'll kind of get into about whether or not there's some guys that are going to be on a little bit more of a fast track, based off of not only where they're at and what they've been doing lately, but kind of what they were assumed to do.
All right, Reds MILB. We'll start off with the Louisville Bats. They lost 11-3 to the Iowa Cubs. Bats now just 9-12 on the season. Reese Hines was 1-for-4. Did have a single, hit 107 miles an hour. Not a whole lot of offense. Mike Ford 1-for-4. Connor Capel 0-for-4. Brett Kennedy, our old friend, he gave up 9 earned runs over 2 1/3. So a tough one today for Kennedy. And then Yasver Zuleta, a guy that I really like, very talented pitcher. He threw a scoreless inning, hit 96 on the gun today. Down to Double-A, Chattanooga. They won 10-1 over Biloxi. The Lookouts avoided the dreadful 6-game sweep to the Shuckers, and they are now 4-10 on the season. Lookouts hit 5 home runs on Sunday, including 3 straight in the 4th inning. Connor Parks just gave up 1 run over 4 innings. And Austin Hendricks hit a home run today. 3-for-5, stole a bag. Austin Callahan actually had a good day. 2-for-5, hit his second homer of the year. Not to be confused with Tyler Callahan, who was the higher-ranked prospect. He was out of the lineup today. The Dayton Dragons, they've now lost 4 straight. They fall to 6-9 on the season. They lost 5-3 to Fort Wayne. Javier Rivera gave up 2 runs over 4 innings. Cam Collier, he was on base twice. Really great to see Jay Allen back in the lineup today. He was 1-for-3 activated on Sunday, played his first game since April 9th. He got off to a really great start to the season before an unfortunate injury. And then Cade Hunter, the catcher slash outfielder, 2-for-4 with a home run, his second of the year. Sal Stewart, he just came in late as a pinch hitter in this one, only got one at bat. He was 0-for-1. And then the Daytona Tortugas, they lost 8-7 to Bradenton in 10 innings. Tortugas actually led 5-2 going into the eighth, but they fall in extra innings. Tortugas still the only affiliate above 500 at 8-7. But Alfredo Duno hit his first home run with the Tortugas. He was 2-for-4, drove in 3 runs. Duno, he's hitting .381 over his last 5 games, 8-for-21. So good to see Duno coming on. Ricardo Cabrera, he did not start in this game, but actually came in and had a pinch hit RBI single in the 10th inning. He's off to a great start this season for the Tortugas. Carlos Sanchez's struggles continue, 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. He's the Reds' number 9 ranked prospect, hitting just .163 OPS under 500. And Eismith Pineda, his struggles as well, 0-for-5, 2 strikeouts. He's the number 28 prospect, hitting just .111 OPS under 300 so far. And then last but not least, Anier Laureano. I can't spell restaurant, but I can type Anier Laureano in directly into our programs without reason. I don't know why. But he threw 2 shutout innings today. No walk, struck out 4, hit 99 with his fastball on Sunday. He's got a 1.08 ERA, 15 strikeouts, just 5 walks, and 8 1/3 so far this season for the Tortugas.
These dudes just throw hard, man. I know we talked about like MLB injuries and where it's going and whether or not it's sustainable and all that. It's never going to go away if this many guys can replicate throwing that hard. It's just never going to go away. It's impossible to make guys worry about their own well-being. You can look across football, for that matter, to see that. You learn about all the damaging things that football can do to you, and guess what? The decline of football players is not to be seen. Same goes with these pitchers, man. You're throwing 99, 97, 98. Imagine throwing 99 miles an hour in low A ball. I mean, if like just rewind yourself 20 years ago and be like, hey, there's going to be this guy that really is not super high on everybody's radar, or at least, you know, not a world or not a country known name. And he's going to throw 99 miles an hour in low A ball. It'd have been like, they'd have been like, no, that's impossible. And yet, here we sit. What's the max? You ever think about that? What's the max, man? Like, where's the ceiling for the human body? It's like 104 miles an hour, like 103 miles an hour. In 20 years from now, are they going to find ways that you know, driveline 2.0? Well, by that point, it'd be like 13.0. I don't know, man. It's interesting.
When's the first time someone gets some, like, artificial thing installed in their arm that you can't track? That's when you'll see it go.
You're probably right.
I'm assuming that there probably isn't much more that you can go, because I would think if there was a little bit more, you would see someone like do it once, right? Like, I would assume they're pretty close to the max, but I don't know. I'm not a physicist or a doctor or whatever. You have to be qualified to know that answer.
Yeah. No, that's fair. All right. Really quick before we wrap out the show, for those that are curious about the poll, would you put 1 month mortgage payment on Ellie being an MVP one time in his career with even odds? Yes or no? 69% of the poll would put would say they would do it. They would do it, and 31% would say they would not do it. So pretty high on Ellie De La Cruz. For can we say this? I think that the vast majority of the fan base, if I can try to defend us as a fan base a little bit here, I think it's like politics. I think it's like you know, almost all geopolitical topics. I think that the minority of people speak really loud on the internet, and you really realize, maybe if you ran a really good poll or ran a poll across the entire Red Leg Nation, the vast majority of people know how good Ellie De La Cruz currently is and could be, to be fair. I think we get caught up in the weeds from times. I don't know where Fred from Facebook is around here, but my point is, I think that the vast majority of people are realistic with Ellie, and he's been more than fantastic.
Can we give David Bell a little bit of credit for the way that he handled Ellie De La Cruz's early struggles? Maybe he handled that properly.
I'll put my hand up and say that I thought I should have taken him out of the game when he was trying to do Cirque du Soleil tricks after he just made an error the inning before. I'll put my hand up and say that. Yeah. Maybe he did handle it right. I don't know. Maybe he would have. Boy, I'll tell you what I would have been, though. I'd have been on my high horse if he took him out of the game and then put him right back in the next night and he went on this tear that he's been on. I'd have been like, see? See? See?
In reality, it probably doesn't matter what
it does. No, it's more or less just like parenting, right? When your kid does something they're not supposed to do, you correct them really fast, or you freak out on them if they do something extremely wrong, and then you realize probably a week later that, you know, if you just stopped and told them that they did something wrong, it'd probably been just as good. But you know what? We're all humans. Maybe overreaction is just part of our DNA. But speaking of overreactions, we got a tough schedule coming up. I hope that's an overreaction, because at the end of the day, this is the thing that everybody kept talking about when they weren't able to sweep the Nationals, and then they turn around and you know, they won a series, and then when they lost to the swept by Seattle, the only thing I kept hearing about, Nick, was how tough the schedule is going to get. You got to get them while you can. Well, here we go. Who, what, when, where, and why, Nick?
Yeah, Phillies, Rangers, Padres, Orioles, Diamondbacks, Giants, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, Padres, Dodgers, Cardinals, Cubs, then you finally get the Rockies. So, yeah, that's a pretty tough stretch. Reds will start a four-game series, Trace, on Monday. Hunter Green getting the ball, going up against Ranger Suarez. Green's last time out. Just gave up one run over four innings pitched, but did need 98 pitches to get through those four innings. He's only made one career start against the Phillies. He did not start in that series earlier in the year. He gave up two runs over four and two thirds. This will also be the first time that Green has ever faced Bryce Harper. Active Phillies against Green are 10 for 27 with an OPS over 1,000. Trey Turner's really got him. He's 5 for 9 with a homer. Castellanos is 2 for 3. Realmuto, 1 for 3. Schwarber, 1 for 3. Ranger Suarez, the lefty for the Phillies. This is probably, to be honest, one of the more underrated pitchers in the sport. He's 3-0, got an ERA of 1.73. He's now in his seventh big league season. He's got a career 3.22 ERA. Last year in the postseason, he had an ERA under 2 in over 18 innings. And his last time out, he threw a complete game shutout. Now, it was at home against the Rockies, but that's still very impressive in baseball in 2024. He did not face the Reds in the series earlier this month, and he actually did not face the Reds last year either, but he's got a career 2.86 ERA in 7 appearances against the Reds. But active Reds against Suarez, just 3 for 20. Candelario, 1 for 4, has a homer and 2 walks. India, 2 for 7. Fairchild, 0 for 5. Trace, any other thoughts on the Phillies in this series coming up?
Before we get to the Phillies, Mike Trout. We said, are we going to pitch to Mike Trout? Are we going to pitch to Mike Trout? Boy, they pitched to him and they handled him. They took care of Mike Trout.
1 for 12, 0 extra base hits.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't possibly have thrown the ball better to Mike Trout. And let's hope that continues, because obviously there's a good amount of guys on the Phillies that can take care of you, and hopefully Bryce Harper this time isn't coming into the series 0 for 15 with, you know, 9 strikeouts, and, you know, inevitably that's not going to last all year long. So
the Phillies have won 6 in a row. Now they did come against the Rockies and White Sox at home.
They play the Rockies and the White Sox back to back.
Yeah,
damn, that's a hell of a vacation.
But man, you look at this: the four pitchers the Reds are going to face, the worst ERA is 2.53. I don't want to jinx it, but man, they've had a pretty favorable schedule so far. They started with the Braves and then the Reds. They've played the Nats, the Cardinals, the Pirates, Rockies, and White Sox. So they're 14-8. Hey, they've taken care of business. Credit to them. But I think they're going to be playing one of the better teams they're going to play this early in the season, the next 4 days.
Yeah. I was taking a look at schedules too. The Cubs have a tough schedule, a tough little stretch coming up. We'll see how it looks here in about a month. You know, I'm not going to rant tonight because ultimately, you know, it's Sunday. It's a day of rest, is what they say. I do know. I see the chat. They're trying to poke me. They're trying to poke me about Espinal. And you know what? I'm gonna take the higher road today. I'm gonna take the higher road and say I am very appreciative that Espinal took charge on that last out of the game like he's supposed to. And he was very vocal about the fact that he was going to make the play, and he made the play. I'm going to give him credit for that. But the bunting attempt, I don't know what he's doing. I genuinely don't know what he's doing.
I don't know why they kept it on with two strikes.
Well, I will say...
did not look like a guy that was easy to bunt off of.
Yeah, and I mean, if you can't bunt off of him, then how the hell are you going to hit off of him? Your Espinal. But my only thing with Espinal is this: is like I will defend, because I know that there's two sides of thought on this, right? One is, hey, it's really tough to bunt against a guy throwing 99 mile an hour. The guy's nasty. Blah 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 blah. My only thing is this with Espinal: when you're the type of player that he is, right, and you're in the off season and you're trying to find ways to hang around the major leagues, for instance, right? You would like to think that you would do the little things right. You're gonna try to be a good defensive player, certainly, but more importantly, if you're asked to bunt, you can get a bunt down. And for all intents and purposes, it wasn't so much that he didn't execute on the bunt, Nick. It was that he looked like he didn't even know really how to bunt. It looked like a guy that like hasn't practiced bunting in a long time. It's like, what exactly are you working on, Espinal, with all due respect? Stuart Fairchild, not trying to give him the credit in the world every single time, but he laid down a great bunt the other night. Like, you would like to think... Now, listen, if you would have told me that just picking out some random player like CES wasn't able to get a bunt down, it's like, okay, well, I could probably understand why CES... And I know I'm going to make some people mad because everybody should be able to know how to bunt. But I can understand why some guys can bunt and why some can't. Espinal, and listen, I'm going to say it because I played basketball in my life, and I've been around a lot of players that can play basketball in their lives. And I know that more times than not, when you're on a basketball team, you know your role, okay? But if you're the 6 foot white guy, all right, at the end of the bench, you know what you should probably be working on at the end of basketball practice, every single practice, until you know that you are elite at it? You shoot free throws. You shoot as many as you can. Just because maybe this guy goes down, this guy goes down, you can go to the free throw line and you can make them. Espinal looked like he ain't ever tried to lay down a bunt since Little League. He's out here squaring around 10 minutes late. Can't get a bunt down. And you know what? If I was David Bell, I would have asked him to bunt with two strikes too, because I will tell you this. It's easier to bunt with two strikes because you don't have to be perfect anymore. They might not think you're bunting. Just bunt it right back to the pitcher. But no, he was literally, you would have thought Espinal was trying to bunt with these glasses on. And when I say literally, this is what he looked like. I mean, just, no, bunt. That's right, bunt. And then by the pitch is past you, dude. Square around. You're not bunting for a hit. That's it. I think I should go to bed before I get us in trouble.
How you're the one that hasn't lost your voice and I am, it's just, it's not fair. I mean, you're doing these rants every night. You're hosting off the bench for 2 hours a day. Unbelievable.
I just don't understand it, Nick. I mean, Nick, people are trying to defend the guy. Oh, you guys throwing 99 miles an hour. We got a guy in low A ball throwing 99 miles an hour. Okay, I don't give a rat's tail how hard he's throwing anymore. That's almost the status quo. Who cares? I mean, can't bunt. Can't bunt. Can't field. Can't hit. Can't run. What can he do? Hopefully, I mean, he must be able to make a hell of a Gatorade that they put in the left side of the bench every single day. Other than that, they can get rid of his.
He can defend. He can defend. He's a solid defensive player. You'll see it more over the course of the year.
I bet I will. Hillman, Will Myers, those two guys will be playing together, and Nick will be telling us about how they were eventually going to be great for the Cincinnati Reds.
I can't believe Will Myers just is gone. Never even got another chance. I will say, okay, so the DFA Espinal crowd, who are you replacing him? That's who I'd like to know. And if you're just like trying to bring up another offensive player, I tell you what, the Reds have played pretty good defense the last couple weeks.
Candelario's played great.
Yes, Candelario's played great, but Espinal's filling the gaps for a lot of these days off, these sicknesses, and he is playing the ball. He's playing good defense. He catches the ball, and that's an important part of the game. He's got a career batting average of balls in play of 305. It's 152 right now. I know he hasn't hit the ball hard, but there's going to be more balls dropped. But that's just kind of the nature of a guy that his entire offense is literally just getting base hits. He's going to get some, he's going to be a little better than he's been, but I Bubba Thompson to me is the one that's got to go way long before Espinal, because I think Espinal has a purpose on this team and it's playing good defense. And I think he's done that. I think I'm telling you, you send down Espinal, you call up a guy like Mike Ford, you start having Spencer Steer and Jonathan Indy in the infield on certain days, the defense is going to really, really pay for it.
Nick, is Espinal's family hiding behind you or what? Are they around that wall? Where are they at, Nick? Is he got kids? You babysitting his kids or what? You must see something I don't, brother. Because, I mean, he's going to be playing down at the old Rumpke League here soon.
He does have options. He does have options. Yeah. But I legitimately, I mean, unless you want to call up just an offensive player, like the options in the infield are like Eric Gonzalez.
Who's the guy they just got? Who's the guy they just got? What's his name?
Lopez, is that his name? I mean, look at his stats. You want to talk about a guy that hasn't hit? Look at that guy.
I'll look him up. I mean, I'll take.
It's rough. It's rough.
I mean, how much worse can it get? How much worse can it get? I mean, I guess he's playing decent defense. Oh, he catches ground balls. I guess I should be excited about that. I don't know. I love you, Nick, but I don't see it with Espinal. And you know what's going to happen to me, and that's fine. I'll take it. I'll be the guy that everybody can pile on about Espinal. He's going to go out there. He's going to get two doubles tomorrow, and it's all going to be all well in the world. And he's going to get a walk-off triple after the first two doubles. You know what? If that's what it takes for Espinal to figure it out, I'll be the punching bag. He certainly knows he ain't hitting anything else.
Levon Soto, shout out Nate for reminding us of the chat. I think I was completely off.
Soto, I'm looking him up.
This guy last year had an 81 WRC plus at AAA. So, I mean, that's...
Well, Matt McClain hit 222 in AA.
Okay, but Matt McClain still had like a 110 WRC plus with that because he could hit the ball out of the ballpark.
He's only 23, Nick. He's only 23. I mean, that's young. He's young. Got to give him a little bit of time, Nick. Saying.
Espinal's fine for this team for right now. He's fine. He's fine.
April 19th. Cincinnati Reds claim shortstop Levon Soto off waivers from the Baltimore Orioles. All right. I mean, I'm ready to see what he's got. Let's bring Soto to the bigs.
He was hitting .214 at AAA this year.
That sounds better than a .125. All right. What do you want me to say, man? We can sit here. We can throw rocks back at each other. I mean, I don't know. There's a phrase that I wish could come to my mind right now, but it feels like we're fighting between, you know, we're fighting between two pigs.
Let's hope we get to a day where we look back and say we were fighting between Santiago Espinal and Levon Soto and laugh at it. And Marte, this is your fault. This is Marte's fault.
Yeah.
This is his fault.
Maybe he shouldn't have shot that needle right up his ass. That'd have been nice.
Well, thank you for joining us for today's episode of Chatterbox Reds. We greatly appreciate all of the love and support. If you have not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds on your favorite podcast platform, well, what are you waiting for? Do it right now as we have new episodes available bright and early the morning after every single Reds game this season, just in time for your daily commute, your morning coffee, or however else you get your day started. And also, make sure that you are subscribed to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube so you can join us live after every single Reds game this season and be a part of the conversation. Hit the bell and turn on notifications also so you can get alerts on your phone whenever we go live. Well, we hope that you have a fantastic day. And as always, go Reds.